Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Well, to not many's delight, the Eagles' third stringers are coming off of their official televised game against the Cleveland Browns here at the Philly Pod, your number one Philadelphia Eagles podcast. We are providing coverage of that, our reactions on a Tuesday. Unfortunately, this shit should have been out on a Monday.
Hey, man. We're recovering still from Atlantic City and a car accident on my end.
Right. So, Jesus. Look, I'm the new intro guy, apparently, Stephen Conrad Jr. here, for those that aren't
You're
aware.
You're just good at it. You're just good at it.
Handing me the reins over here. But, yeah, Vic, I'm sure he's going to want to touch on what's happened with us. Because at the end of the day, yes, this is an Eagles podcast, but we're human beings on the other end of it. And we've been through a lot lately, yes. Vic more specifically, so...
I mean, yeah, all of us have, interestingly enough. So basically, I don't even know what day it was at this point. Thursday, Friday. So for the people, I shouldn't have ever left the house. You ever get that feeling where you shouldn't have, like, I shouldn't leave the house. I don't need fast food, blah, blah, blah. But I went and did it anyway. Since like 6 p.m., I was fighting the urge for like McDonald's. And I was like, I don't need it. I have food at the crib. 9 o'clock rolls around. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to go get the food. So I go to the McDonald's up the street on Blackwood Clementon Road, and I'm turning into the
McDonald's. What are you
McDonald's.
Giving away your location for?
Everybody knows where Blackwood... It's the most common road in South Jersey.
All right, man. But, I'm not familiar with that town.
Demographic. And even if I say the road, nobody's going to know exactly
where
I live.
Nor do I want to be.
What? The, yeah, clearly. But I'm turning into the drive-thru, and as I'm turning it, this lady rear-ends me, and it was just depressing. I mean, the lady was all upset, and... shaking up. So I made sure she was all right. Thankfully, the police didn't come and make a bigger deal out of it. And we just exchanged insurance info and went home and dealt with it then. So my car gets inspected on Thursday. I get the rental and we go through this, do this whole thing. So I'm going through that. And then, mind you, we had the Armentani Brothers show in Atlantic City over the weekend. So we're all recovering from liver failure as all this is happening, which is why this episode
My liver's not failing me.
Okay, well, speak for yourself, because all of our livers were failing up until Conway, had that episode at the end of the night. But that's another story for another time. But that's what we've been through. That's why this episode is getting recorded on a Tuesday rather than directly after the game, because we are getting hit by cars, and then we are in VIP sections in clubs. And so that's where we're at. And in the midst of all that, the Eagles did play a football game. So thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of the Philly Pod. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Odyssey, anywhere else you get your shows. If you do enjoy the show, be sure to leave a review and rate 5 stars. Can't stress enough how important those are to bringing the show to new eyes and ears of Eagles fans, NFL fans, just fans of the podcast in general. You guys have been doing a good job with that. So we do appreciate it. Keep that up for us.
I'd argue they could do better, but
Steven said you could do better. I think you've been doing all right. But
all right doesn't cut it, guys. Do you want an all right season from the Eagles this year?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, be better. There you go.
We admitted on the first 3 minutes of the show we got to be better, because this podcast was supposed to be out probably a day ago.
Yeah, probably that would have been nice, but we had to catch up on Liberty Line stuff and everything that we didn't do over the weekend. Follow me on Twitter at the Philly Pod. The same deal on Instagram and TikTok. I'm your host, Victor Williams, the voice you are heard that opened the show and will probably be opening the show moving forward, because he's a much more intriguing individual than I am. Stephen Conrad Jr. Follow him on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and all of that. So you feel okay from the trip? You're not. We were pretty good on the ride home. So, but I know you were dead. You were asleep for a good
bit just
afterwards.
Like fatigued. Just trying to get back into. I'm a routine guy, so I'm trying to get back into routine. What's
up? It was yesterday when you were like, I think I got COVID, dude.
Oh yeah, they're just. I don't know, man. Just fatigued.
Oh man, what a time! We do have a vlog coming out of this trip on the Liberty Line YouTube channel. We're getting all the clips and videos. We recorded on like 89 different devices, cameras, GoPros.
Yeah, there's gonna be so much footage, guys.
We got footage galore that we're putting a vlog together from the day these guys got to my house. Go ahead.
What's that? Oh no, no.
I'm saying from the moments from everybody showed up to my house to the drive down there to the room to the club itself to the waking up the next morning to the ride home. Yeah, a lot of details.
Great time.
It was Nelk-esque, if I may say so myself. So be sure to subscribe to the Liberty Line YouTube channel and check. That what were you saying before I cut you
no
off?
I just wanted to give a shout out to the Armentani brothers. Those guys are fucking phenomenal, man. Like I went in not knowing much about them, so I apologize, but maybe that's for the better,
Greek.
Having an open mind, and they just fucking blew the fucking roof off the place. Man, I maybe, you know, it probably helped we weren't in the general admission section, but hey,
we don't do that no more. We do club box seats and VIP sections. This is where we're at in life. We're not with the general public anymore. We don't sit. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, it was definitely a good time. The Armentani brothers, if you can make it out to one of their shows, I suggest you do that. They do shows in AC and Philly and all the areas around here. And they know how to put on a show in the Greek. So I guess they're a good time. So that was phenomenal. had a fantastic trip in AC over the weekend, but now we're back to business, and we have an Eagles preseason game to recap, as well as running back rumors and some other stuff to get into. So the Eagles were able to get their first preseason win in week two of preseason, 21-20, behind Gardner Minshew and the reserves. No Deshaun Watson on the other end, obviously no Jalen Hurts, no starters, a lot of second, third string, fourth team, and you know, the nitty gritty of the people trying to make the Eagles roster. The Eagles have to cut the roster down to 80 players. Today is Tuesday. It's about 12:45 p.m. So they have to cut the roster down to 80 players by 4 p.m. today. So by the time you guys are listening to this, that has probably already happened. So we'll get into that as well. But Steven, I guess early takeaways from the game, there was obviously some standouts, some highlight plays, and then some under the radar guys that made an impression as they tried to make the 53-man roster. What was like kind of like the first wow moment for you in the game? What are some takeaways? What are some guys you had your eye on in this preseason victory?
Well, to start off, I guess since you asked the question, I'll just touch on it really quickly. So Gardner Minshew, let's just start at the quarterback spot. I mean, he was great. He was 14 of 17. I thought this was a great performance from him, especially considering I feel like there was a lot of question marks being thrown his way over the last couple of weeks. A lot of people, you specifically, thought Reed Sinnett was more deserving of, right, of the backup.
That's how it looked in camp. Yeah. But I think Minshew is one of those guys that just perform well in games. I don't think he cares much for practice.
So, you know, that's good to see. Obviously, like, I know nobody wants to hear this, even the people that may not, well, maybe not true, but I was just going to say, for even the people that may not believe in Jalen Hurts, like, look, man, like, we know more than anybody, like, the backup QB spot is one of the more important spots on the team, especially the Eagles and their history of all their starting quarterbacks going down. I mean, it's happened time and time again. I'm just saying, so you have to prepare for these things. I'm not saying, you know, have doomsday in your mind all the time, but you know, that's the first thing that stood out to me. I mean, and then right after that, well, first of all, Boston Scott, this to my frustration, and it's preseason. I have a preseason rant coming later in this podcast. I didn't want to. We did a lot of rambling, but this is an Eagles podcast, so we got to touch on these things. Boston Scott touched the ball like 30 times in the first drive of this game. And, you know, I'm seeing all these Eagles reporters and whatever we want to call them, all under the same umbrella, whatever they are in the media, are saying Boston Scott's running back two over Kenny G and all this stuff. And it's just like, to my frustration, like, why? Look, man, I'm sure Boston Scott's a great guy. He's a great story. He dominates the Giants. He's a hard worker. There's so many great things to be said about Boston Scott. but maybe I'm in the minority here. I am so sick and tired of this Boston Scott thing. He is not Darren Sproles. He's just small. People can't see him behind this Eagles offensive line. The Eagles have the best offensive line in the NFL. You put Wendell Smallwood back there with blurred vision, and he can get you 4 yards a carry. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying Boston Scott sucks or any of these things, but in no world should
that's
he
get... That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like.
Well, that's ridiculous, man, because Kenny G, I was watching in the Discord, by the way, join the Liberty Line Discord out there for those that are diehard Philly sports fans and want to really, you know, get involved into what we do here. I was watching some tape last year, and Kenny G was fucking dynamic in the passing game. He was dynamic. And I was watching the Chiefs game, the Broncos game.
I was about to say,
game.
Which game specifically? He did catch a hell of a lot of passes in the Chiefs game. I remember that.
Big plays on fourth. There's a fourth and two where Hurts was just flushed out of the pocket. Damn. And Kenny G came up. A couple times he moved the chains on you know, do or die situations. I'm not saying Boston Scott can't do that, but like Kenny G did that as a rookie. I feel like Boston Scott's been here for how many years? I'm not saying, you know, cut the guy. I'm just saying... Fall in line behind
He's
Kenny
the second
G.
best running back on the team, man. That's just
yeah, that's
how it
bullshit.
Is.
That's how it is.
That's how it is.
I have more takeaways, but it's your turn, man. I just yeah, I'm always Pass frustrated baton, about bro. Something with this team. Yeah.
Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell combined for 12 carries for 79 yards in that preseason game. So whether if it's Gainwell, Boston Scott, whatever the situation is, they can both as a tandem, and I'll get into this later as we talk about running back rumors, as a tandem can seemingly carry the load if they need to. But touching on your Gardner Minshew point, you made a good point that the backup QB position is one of the most important in all of football, and that is especially true. You need a capable backup when you have a dual threat starter, and Jalen Hurts that's susceptible to hits, as we saw in the Jets game, who got decked six steps out of bounds. Thankfully, he got fined. Quincy Williams got fined $10,000 for that hit. Probably should have been ejected for that, but that's neither here nor there. But when you have a guy who runs as much as Jalen Hurts does, you're leaving yourself vulnerable to taking some hits, and you're going to need a guy in that QB room who can step in and make some plays if Jalen Hurts needs to recover or rest or goes down or whatever the situation is. So I like what I saw from Gardner Minshew. He looked comfortable. He looked confident. We all know what he is at this point. He can step in and win you a few games. He led two touchdown drives, and that was good on Minshew. Minshew said after the game that in my mind, I've proven to myself that I can play in this league. That's all that matters. I know if I continue to get better, then I have a chance to have a really good career in this league. I look forward to my future with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, what he means by future, because we all know he ain't starting, as was evident when he kicked the door down after the Jets game last year to Sirianni's office and said, what do I got to do? What do I got to do to start, man? You saw what I did out there? And Sirianni basically said, get the hell out of my office. But it's good to know that we
have
a guy.
He's got an RV he's trying to sell for $25,000.
He's selling the Love Shack, bro. He's selling the Love Shack for $25,000. He spent the entire offseason in it. And that's just you know how it's going to get. But yeah, as he enters the second year as the primary reserve, Minshew did show why Philly values him so much in their quarterback room. So that was good to see. Yeah, since you mentioned the running backs, they didn't make my standouts because – Well, I guess
I
you
was just
didn't
pointing
really,
out the situation.
Yeah, you didn't call them
I can
standout.
Touch on more standouts, but go ahead. It's your
no,
turn.
No. Yeah, the running backs are fine. I mean, the Kenneth Gainwell made a nice play in the hole. Boston Scott got some nice touches. This is the stuff we expect at this point. I think Boston
nice
Scott
touches.
Is,
he got a lot of touches.
Yeah. I think Boston Scott, they each had a touchdown, right? Yeah, they each had one.
Yeah.
But I think Boston Scott is kept around these days strictly just for Giants games. Specifically because he's just the giant killer at this point. So we can complain and yell and scream all we want, but when those Giants roll around and Boston Scott finds the end zone three times, nobody's bitching then. But yeah, RB2, dude, unless we make a trade, that's Boston Scott for you. Not Kenny G, not your boy. Much to your dismay, I know how much that upsets
why?
You.
Why? I just don't
this
understand
man's over
why?
There stewing over this.
I just don't understand this team, man.
Oh, boy. So from one offensive position to the other, two wide receivers actually was making plays out there today.
Yeah, I'm glad
so
you brought that up because I have an issue with this too.
Oh, Lord. Which one? Which go ahead with your point. Which player do you have an issue with?
Well, I don't have an issue with the players, just the situation. Like, first of all, Deion Kane's a stud. A jam.
Yeah,
my dogs are barking. God damn
it. Dang, dogs are going off.
Maybe they're tired of my takes, but like, look, Deion Kane, we would agree, was the... Well, I guess Devin Allen had, what was that, a 55-yard touchdown that came out of nowhere? And, you know, of course, everybody loses their mind when that happens. I'm not here to shit on him, but how many times have we seen these, like, quote unquote deep threat guys we've had over the years have one big play and then they just never do anything again?
You mean Jalen Reagor in the first game of his career?
Shelton Gibson. who was that
other
guy?
That's a good
name. Bryce Treggs.
Oh, man, damn.
Like all these guys. Deion Kane, though, looks like a legitimate player in this league. He's got the 6'2". He's got the 6'2 build. He's a big guy. I guess, would you say he's big? It's good
size. Yeah, heck yeah, he's big. He's used his body to make all those catches
in
that game.
Good hands.
Very good hands. But
this is where the frustration comes.
Oh, no.
I do believe Quez Watkins got some snaps in this game, right?
Yep.
Which is fine. I don't have any issue with that. Whatever.
Why wouldn't he?
But, you know, Jalen Reagor, right?
Mm-hmm.
First round pick used on this guy, as we know, has been has been a disappointment to this point. He's still on the team. I know all the trade rumors and the talks around his name. I just don't really understand what's going on here. I feel like he should be showcased more. I feel like he's not getting looks. He had 2 catches for 17 yards. One play, I mean, Gardner Minshew was great, but he threw that ball in the dirt. It was a nice comeback route. It could have been a nice little game there. He would have had 3 catches for, I mean, it would have been 30-plus yards at
Didn't
that
Reagor
point,
play
least.
Like the whole first half? How much opportunity?
I just
he was
don't
showcased
understand
enough.
What they're
he was
doing.
Showcased enough. That's
so
fine.
why is Devin Allen getting this opportunity on
these
deep
are
balls
people that are
Reagor
trying to make
do
rosters.
The same thing,
they're trying
bro.
To make the roster. Reagor is going to be on the roster unless they trade him. They are not cutting him for $8 million cap hit. He's either going to get traded or he's going to be on the roster. There's nothing we need to see from Jalen Reagor. Deion Kane, Devin Allen, Britton Covey, these guys are trying to make the roster. Which is
all
why
right,
they
well, you put it that way and it makes me feel a little bit better, I guess. I don't know.
Well, Rager's going to unless they move him, but then we get into the question for if there's so seemingly 2 spots on this wide receiver depth chart, right? Because AJ Brown, Devontae Quez, and Pascal are locks as they should be. So you have 2 spots. If they keep 6, I'm seeing some talk about 5. I saw somebody say they'd only keep 4. I don't know why that's even a suggestion. But
they should keep 6.
Yes, I think they should keep 6. But in those last 2 spots, you got Devin Allen, Deion Kane, Jalen Reagor, Britton Covey, and some of these other guys. If it was up to you, which 2 people are you keeping on this roster? Because Kane, Devin Allen, Covey, they all kind of.
I mean, no
Greg
offense,
Ward.
I'm not going to
forget about Greg Ward.
I'm not going to keep a track star on an NFL roster,
dude. He can be a gunner on a kickoff team, or
I mean, that's
he can
fine.
Do exactly,
and
he can
people
be
are
going
to get upset with me for saying that, but Reagor deserves
the
spot.
Like he could be the speed decoy. Yo, you can't teach that kind of speed, dude. He literally hit 21 miles an hour on that play, and he got 5
we
yards
have
of separation.
Speed. We have Quez.
5 yards of separate. Yeah, I think Quez does match him. Quez ran for 22 miles per hour on a play last year.
Quez is our wide receiver 3.
Yes, I know that. But I'm saying, like, if you want a guy to be out there just for speed that you have to respect, you can put
is
him
he returning
out there for
punts?
That. Not yet, but he could
okay,
be. I don't know what
get
the,
out of here,
I don't know why they're waiting for. But all right, so Greg Ward, Reagor, Deion Kane, Devin Allen, who gets these final 2 wide receiver roster spots? If it was up to you,
no, I'm going Deion Kane and Jalen Reagor.
Okay, all right. Well, so Deion Kane over Greg Ward.
Yes.
All right. So
I'm
you,
over
so
the
ship
Greg Ward is in the same boat as Boston Scott, bro. I'm so done with that. I want dynamic guys out there.
Greg Ward was cool when we didn't have receivers, but like now
I'm not
I don't,
throwing
like,
shade, man. I'm just saying when I
no,
if
no,
I'm building
I
my
it.
Team.
I understand. But Greg Ward can be on the practice squad or yeah. Have you. Deion Kane,
so
5
can
catches.
The track star.
He wouldn't survive on the practice squad. Somebody would take him just for the speed alone. Baltimore probably they have nobody over there. I think the Packers would give him a look. Like
rather have Jalen Reagor.
Well they tried and they wanted picks attached to him for Chuck Clark and the Eagles said no, which is why we don't have any safeties now, but we'll get into the safety talk in a bit. But yeah, Deion Kane, 5 catches, 66 yards, all very impressive catches back to back. I think 20 plus yard catches from back shoulder throws from Minshew and looked very good. He could do a better job generating separation. There wasn't much separation on any of those catches, but used his frame, has good hands, and that's stuff you could use in the NFL. I don't know how he would look because Travis Fulgham fooled us all for those few weeks. I don't know how he would look against like first team defense, but I like his hands. I would keep him around on the roster, and he does have experience. He started 6 games in 2019, I think it was, for the Colts and the Steelers. Somebody he played for. So
which are both great. Well, Steelers more specifically are great receiver development.
Fantastic. Claypool.
Situations.
Now they have George Pickens that, all mind you, George Pickens was plus 5,000 odds for offensive rookie of the year. 10 to win $500 for offensive rookie of the year. And I didn't bet it. And now he's all the way down to plus 1,000 odds. And
I liked
super,
him in the draft process.
Yeah, well, I saw all the stuff coming out about him, and he was like, he's a head case, and like the clips of him just shoving people, and he's already doing it in preseason. But sometimes you.
But
need
he's
that
the
energy.
One that goes by NFL Young Boy, right?
Is that him? You would know.
Yeah, he's that guy's
the dude
on my
that was standing at the TV screen as he was getting drafted with the face mask and the.
He can come here any day of the week.
Dude, he's different. But,
come on this podcast.
Facts. also Devin Allen touching on that. Burned former Eagles cornerback LaVert Hill. I don't think LaVert Hill even knew what hit him when that speed came running at him. And then Devin Allen just runs by him. And finally, his first catch since 2016, since Oregon, his first NFL catch for that 55-yard touchdown. Were you feeling the hurdle celebration? It was a little... I didn't like
it a whole lot. That's fine. Time. That's cool.
It's fine.
Embrace your brand or whatever, you know?
Embrace your brand. Yeah, yeah, I think he knows he's not making the roster.
He's a track guy, man. Do it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, that speed was fun to watch, though. He probably won't be on the final 53, but was certainly fun to watch. So, yeah, the Deion Kane versus, like, Jalen Reagor. I'm seeing a lot of that on the timeline these days. So we'll have to see if that's going
How are we
to be
not
a,
mentioning the star of this game? Well, I mean...
The star of like, what? The game?
I guess maybe not this game specifically, but, like, Cam Jurgens, man.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I mean, he's just everything you would want in a replacement for Jason Kelsey. Like, I don't think it gets any better than that, right?
Yeah, well, he had the standout
That was always
game
my concern.
Jets, and literally on the first play of scrimmage, I think it was, he had Boston Scott behind him, and Jurgens literally put safety DeAnthony Bell, like, on the ground from the clip I saw. Pretty sure, like, first play of scrimmage, he got out, he pulled out in front, got ahead of Boston Scott, and just shoved dude to the ground. So, man, I'm trying to wonder why, like, nobody else was on this guy that I knew about, because the hype was Tyler Linderbaum in the draft, and he was the next Kelsey and all this. But this guy, Cam Jurgens, he is looking the part. He played a vital role in the Eagles' first two scoring drives. He both resulted in rush touchdowns, by the way. He's looked every bit the dominant setter and will obviously only get better under the tutelage of Jason Kelsey. So I am very excited to watch that. Gardner Minshew spoke on Cam Jurgens after the game. He said he's super athletic. He's also very smart for a rookie to come here and make all the calls, do all the things he's doing. It's super impressive, and he's very excited for his future. So that is something. The offensive line, I feel like it's such a staple now that it almost goes under the radar of how good they are, because if Kelsey, say hypothetically Jason Kelsey and Jordan Mailata go down, you have Cam Jurgens and Andre Dillard waiting. Andre Dillard, who's in a fight with Barnett, we'll touch on in a second. But those guys can come step in and give you almost the same production. That is an incredible depth for an offensive line. And Jeff Stoutland, they should just hand that guy a blank check at this point.
Yeah, I'd imagine obviously, if we're going back to the draft process, Jason Kelsey was heavily involved in the Cam Jurgens selection, but I'm sure Jeff Stoutland was pretty fond of it too. You know, it's almost like a crime that they're letting the team who had the best offensive line in the NFL last year, we have the best offensive line coach, get a hold of them. Like, geez, man, the rich get richer.
Didn't Stoutland almost go to Alabama and then he came back to the Eagles? Didn't he? Wasn't there offseason? I think it was last offseason. He nearly went to Alabama, I think.
And yeah, then, something
Eagles,
like it definitely happened.
Him,
I know that.
Eagles give him a nice little payday to keep him around. So
as they should.
As they should have, clearly.
We're about to transition to a new period here. Like, these young guys coming in.
These successors coming in and just stepping right in. You know what? I have a hottish take that I was going to keep to myself, but I'm going to say it. Jason Kelsey and Cam Jurgens, I know take the positions out of it because quarterback is obviously more important, but Jason Kelsey and Cam Jurgens reminds me similarly of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. The way they had a Hall of Fame guy there, and they had a guy who was ready in place, and then Brett Favre, you know, moved on and went to the Vikings, and then Aaron Rodgers stepped right in and didn't miss a beat. I feel like that's going to be similar to Jason Kelsey and Cam Jurgens. Again, I know different positions. Don't hang me on the cross for that, but that's what it reminds me of. So now over to the defense. I want to focus on the safety position a little bit, because for a position that has literally like no depth or really any standouts beyond Marcus Epps, because I don't know what Anthony Harris even does anymore. Jaquaski Tart is out there with the third stringers. I know he missed time in practice for personal reasons, but man, they got him out there with the third team. I don't even know if he makes the roster. Safety Andre Chachere is probably going to make this roster. He made the cut in my roster projections, and I'm pretty sure he solidified his roster spot. In this Browns game, his versatility allowed him to also play the nickel spot at cornerback. He can play both positions, you know, nickel and safety. Actually, I think Josiah Scott, who started camp as nickel, basically swapped positions with Andre Chacharet, who is now playing nickel, and Josiah Scott is back in safety. So I don't know what the defensive staff is trying to figure out here. But the versatility is also a plus for Andre Chacharet. Made plays all over the field against the Browns. He stopped Joshua Dobbs at the goal line. I'm sure you saw that clip that went viral of him basically taking Joshua Dobbs out of bounds at the 1 yard line. And also had a nice pass breakup on a pass intended for David Bell to force a field goal attempt. So I don't know how much of Andre Chacharet tape you watch, Stephen, but how do you feel about the safety position as a whole? Jesse Bates just reported to the Bengals he's going to sign his tender, and it looks
he
like he's going to play.
I was going to say, you want to know what my takeaway is? It looks like Jesse Bates is about to get that franchise tag.
He signed his tender. He's going to play nice for the year, and then I guess they'll re-engage in talks and deal with this next offseason. But the safety position, I'm starting to worry a little bit for all the hype that
was
the offseason. As you
should. Now you're starting to worry. I could have told you this when you were gassing up Marcus Epps in freaking July, dude.
Marcus Epps is fine. I was gassing up Tart and you weren't having it. And now it's looking like he might not even make the roster. What's your feel? What is your sense on the safety position as we head into this
year? I don't believe in these guys on the roster. I don't think they're good. It's the biggest hole on the team. Maybe one day, like once Howie stops. Well, I'm not going to complain at how he's reconstructed this team.
He did everything he had to.
Right. But perhaps,
every team has one position that is questionable, and it just happens to be safety.
I would argue more, but. I would just hope he could use a high premium draft pick or just something on a safety for once this coming off season in the first or second round. Same with corner. Do the same thing.
Next year is the year for corners. Eli Ricks, Cam Smith, Ringo, all those guys are going to be looked at next year. I'm sure you got Bradbury and Slay this year, so you can't really complain there. But I get the point. You want them to invest assets. It kind of sucks they didn't do it this year with the corner rich draft they had. Andrew Booth and Sauce and Stingley and all these great Kyer Elam, all these great guys they had in the draft. Kind of sucks we didn't get the investment this year, but you can't.
Well, we do have a Bama corner on the roster who was more impressive than your safeties
in
my opinion.
Standout's coming. Good point there.
I am excited about him for a couple of reasons, unlike the safeties you had brought up.
Dang.
I just believe in the build he has. I like longer, rangy corners. He went to Alabama. Never questioned a player coming out of Alabama. The coaching there is the best. And he was lights out in that game, man. I don't think he let anybody catch a ball?
No, he did not. Well, might as well get into it now. So the cornerback Steven is referring to is Alabama undrafted free agent Josh Dobe, who got first team work last week. Bradbury went to the tent for a little bit. They put Josh Dobe in there to get some first team work. And he continued to improve his stock on Sunday, I believe. He led Philadelphia with 7 total tackles. He broke up a pass in the end zone with 4 seconds remaining in the first half and forced them into a field goal. So basically, to your point, he was targeted 3 times as the primary defender, allowed 0 completions, had 1 pass breakup, only allowed a 39.6 pass rating. I think Job is getting to be a lock on this 53-man roster in a crowded cornerback room. There's like 12 in camp, crowded. And I think he does. Yeah, it's crowded. There's like 12 of them. I'm not saying crowded with talent, but crowded. It's crowded.
Well, I guess if one of him, McPherson, and what other young guy?
McPherson's on the roster, bro. He's on the
going.
Roster. He's
no,
on the
I'm
roster.
Saying if one of them, we need one of those guys to pan out into a legitimate contributor, not just some fringe guy that's on the team.
I think five corners make it. I think they keep 5. I think it's going to be Slay, Bradbury, Maddox, McPherson, and Josh Jobe. I think, and Tay Goin on the practice squad. I think it's how it shakes out. And everybody else. I wanted to see more.
Wait,
from
what
Goodrich.
About the? Oh wait. I was going to ask, what happened to the guy we acquired in the Jaisal trade?
Ugo Amadi. Yeah, we never did a pot on that, did we? Oh, the Jaisal. We never talked about that since then. That's a good. Yeah. That's a good point. But yeah,
he had the J-Jaw funeral podcast.
Yeah, the rip my J-Jaw anytime touchdown tickets is what it should have been. Ugo Amadi had 4 tackles in that game, so he's already contributing more than J-Jaw ever did. I actually like his versatility because he can be a returner too. He plays in the box, he can play at nickel, and he can play at safety. So that's a good point. Maybe they use him at safety too. So it's interesting. I'll have to see how he does in the last preseason game to see if he makes the final roster. But I think Josh Strobe certainly makes it. He's had some good plays throughout camp and even more so during the Browns game.
Besides safety, you could argue the back end of the cornerback room is kind of concerning just because you have to look at the future. You don't think?
I mean,
you have to look at the future.
I like to see. I mean, the future is fine because I'm banking on them doing something next year.
Slay and Bradbury and Maddox, obviously. But if like one or two goes down, we're fucked. We're fucked. Actually,
we're fucked.
Yes, we are. Joe
or McPherson out there at CB. Do you know some of the CB2s that played in the league last year? They. It's not the end of the world. If any of them had to play like one or two games, I'd be fine.
Then you look at that safety room.
Yeah, that would be a
disaster. The back end of the defense. That's a concern.
Mm. It's Ebson Harris and the rest of them, and I don't even know how they're going to.
I think people realize how much better on paper this secondary is this season. When you just watch last year,
I think the first team offense realizes it when they're having a hard time in practice, and then you're seeing what they're doing. Not seeing or hearing what they're doing, rather joint practices. I think that's encouraging when the Eagles are arguably playing a top eight defense at practice every day. I think that's that's certain. But to your point, thank goodness the front seven is looking the way it is, because that safety spot, I don't know. I actually do like the cornerback room. We all know my fandom for McPherson, and I'm a Josh Strobe fan. If there's anything we've learned as football fans, is to never bet against Alabama players, like you said. So yep. If we can keep one of them around, especially at cornerback. And Strobe did see his fair share of like NFL talent in Alabama. It's not like he was bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He just had he ended the year on a bad note and had the foot injury and everything else, but he's seen pristine talent, so he has experience. He knows what he's doing. If you have Strobe and then you can draft Eli Ricks, another Bama player, boy, he's Bama, right? Eli Ricks,
pretty sure.
Yeah, damn, two Bama corners, dog. We are set. We're gonna be the Philadelphia Crimson Tide next year. That's
nothing wrong with that. Hey,
nothing wrong with that at all. So those are kind of some of the standouts for the preseason game. Before we carry over to the running backs, I want to get into some running back rumors. Do you have any last words for J.J.? We never paid our respects. Any final words, any memories, favorite memories?
No, I don't. I don't.
No. I thought you were going to come
up
with one.
I was going to go on another rant, but I think I'm ranted out at this point because you know what? Actually, I will. I have something. This is a big picture thing. Can I do this really quickly?
Yeah,
it doesn't really have to do with J-Jaw. Just in general, I'm not here to tell anybody how to think. I try to make that clear every time I make a point and I target the general Eagles fan base. But I just take issue. That's all I'm saying. I just take issue with the lack of patience, I feel like, with this fan base. Now, look, J-Jaw sucks. He's a garbage player. He shouldn't even be in the NFL.
This did not take the turn that I anticipated. I thought this was going to be a shit on J-Jaw rant. It's a now shit on Philly fans rant.
I'm disappointed in the lack of patience with this fan base, because there's just been so many players.
You gave him 3 years. How much patience
is not right. And what I'm telling you is Jalen Reagor deserves this third year. That's my opinion. I'm not saying other people. God. But, you know, these are human beings, man. He came in. It was a rough, couple years for Reagor, man. It is what it is. Could he have handled things
better? How is this a Reagor thing now? How did this turn into a Reagor thing?
Now, you
got to
let it
go,
thing.
Man.
This is
let
a
it
big,
go.
I'm not letting it go.
Let
this
it
is
go.
A big picture.
It's over, man. It's over, bro. His dad blocked you. It's over. That's how you knew. That's the nail in the coffin.
All right. Well, what do you got to say to the people that don't even want Jalen Hurts to be the QB week one this
year?
All right.
Well, that's a whole other can of worms. Like,
I'm saying is be patient, man. This fan base lacks so much patience.
Oh, you're saying they're so
thirsty
for
success. But I'm not here to tell anybody how to think.
Yeah, clearly. I thought this was going to be a J-Jaw's ass. We gave him the best 3 years. Now, to be fair, he was like a nice guy. He came in, he tried his best, he even switched positions to try and help the team, and he tried his best. But he owes me bread for multiple bets, by the way, especially in the final regular season Dallas game.
He sucked his first 2 years. In the third year, he won us a Super Bowl. He was one of the best slot receivers in the NFL.
You're really just going to run with this Reagor third year.
It's not a Reagor thing. It's a patience thing. I told you that before I made the goddamn point.
Did you feel that way 2 years after J-Jaw?
No, because that
It's subjective. It's subjective. We know what Reagor is at this point. Can't give us anything. And if he doesn't, he might give us a play here and there as wide receiver 4 or 5 or whatever the situation.
Jalen Hurts was painted a backup quarterback, and now we're arguing if he can be a top 15 guy. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So if it wasn't for the Eagles being patient, then that wouldn't be a reality. Now, whether or not he does that is another thing.
What are the Eagles being patient with? Because it's not Jalen Hurts.
With Jalen, they could have just went another direction.
This is his, and they might. They very well might after this year. This is not patience.
They could have after last year, man.
We made our bed, now we have to lay in it because we drafted Jalen Hurts. That's what this is. This isn't being patient with Jalen. This is, we have this guy.
So almost like accountability is what we're saying.
Yes, they're taking accountability. Well, I guess in a way, but this is them basically. I don't even know how the conversation swerved in this direction. Now we're talking about Jalen Hurts.
You think I'm making this about Reagor? I'm just making
it was.
A
this
point
was a
here.
This was a rip J Jaw segment, and you switched this and said, "Be patient with Jalen Reagor." How did this happen? And now we're on Jalen Hurts. They picked Jalen Hurts. They couldn't get the alternatives. Weren't much better. They tried for Deshaun Watson and didn't for obvious reasons. They tried for Russell Wilson. They were dabbling in Aaron Rodgers before he decided to stay. And Jalen Hurts is just the best option.
Wasn't Jason Kelce kind of trash his first couple years?
I don't even remember. Brandon Graham was definitely
those two
ass.
Guys were...
Brandon Graham was hella ass.
Oh, boy. If the fans were in charge, that man would be out of here and we wouldn't have a strip ass. Sack.
Hey, if
great
it was
job,
charge,
Eagles
if it was
fans.
Up to the fans, Brandon Graham would have been shipped out with Fletcher Cox and the other half of the Eagles team for Marcus Mariota. So that's
I wasn't doing that.
I was definitely doing that. 100% was doing that. So rip my man J-Jaw, man. Good luck to Seattle. Probably won't make the roster. I don't know if he ever played football again.
I take it you have a better understanding of the point I tried making now.
You just want fans to let players develop. That's all.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work with guys like Jay Jaw and Jalen Reagor and some of these other guys.
Like, thank God Cam Jurgens is having this electric start. Which, by the way, guys, not every single rookie that the Eagles draft are just going to come in and light it up like this. You know, we're kind of spoiled. We're pretty lucky.
Devontae Smith had the best rookie wide receiver season.
It feels like if the guy doesn't
Eagles
come
history.
In and just
in Eagles history. Yes, we want first round picks
God forbid,
to produce.
If they go
first
in
round,
another
we
direction,
want first
listen,
round picks
listen.
To produce. That doesn't make us bad guys. What?
God, correct.
Yes.
Correct. I do too. But what I'm saying is, like, it's not going to be like just got. I'm
dude,
doing
stop babying Reagor, man. This is where we're at. This is where
I'm
we're
not
at.
Babying,
you're babying
him.
Now you're
Bro,
saying Reagor is a first round
I
pick.
I mentioned five players, seven players.
But the original point is for us to be patient with Jalen Reagor. That's what you wanted this to be. That's what you just have this Reagor agenda that won't die until he's traded. I pray he's traded now. I hope he's traded just so we can
you suck, dude.
Dude, yes. And then we can have Deion Kane and Devin Allen.
He comes in and makes a nice play week one off the bench, and I'm going to be
electric
on the timeline.
He did that in 2020. And then nothing else happened after that. And he had that nice play in the Packers game that you all love and fantasize about.
Yeah, he did.
Sure did. Dot from Jalen Hurts, wasn't it, too? And he had that punt return touchdown. That might have been the best game of his career.
He was dominant in that game. In his rookie year. It's there. That's what I'm saying. It's there. What has J-Jaw done to deserve all this respect? There's some people that
Dude,
are trying to
be
like,
he's
the nice
blockers
guy
in
and
the
all
league.
This stuff. I don't care, bro.
He's one of the best run blockers in the league. That's what he's done.
His only touchdown came when he picked up a fumble that dropped right
into
his hands.
He had one touchdown against Miami. He had one reception touchdown. And he had the other on the fumble against the Ravens. So, yeah, it's rip J-Jaw. That was the moral point of this. This segment. So one last thing we wanted to get into before we wrapped up here, we got some running back rumors. So the Kareem Hunt stuff won't die. And then one running back got released yesterday, and there's another one who I believe the Eagles could pursue if they look into bringing in another back here with Miles Sanders missing all this practices, dealing with hamstring issues, and we got Boston Scott RB2 now. It's over for the backfield. Here's my question, Steven. If Miles Sanders, say he goes down hypothetically for like 6 to 8 weeks, how confident are you that Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell can carry the load for that extended amount of time?
Definitely not confident right. Because Boston Scott's ahead of him in the depth chart for some reason, according to this. I don't understand this. Look, I'm a Nick Sirianni believer, but I don't understand this decision.
No, we're not at all. So I'm going to run you down the options, and you tell me.
You know what's funny about this? Really quickly before you do that. You know what's funny about this? For all the Miles Sanders naysayers, when you ask them, are they confident with Boston Scott and Kenny G leading the backfield, they can't answer. Bunch of cowards.
Well, that's because they're hoping that Miles Sanders just stays healthy. That's why. He's already missing practice. So where does practice. That leave us? So according to recent NFL reports, specifically out of Cleveland, Hunt would be open to a trade to the Philadelphia Eagles. According to a source familiar with his thinking, he's not demanding a trade per se, but if the Eagles value him enough to trade for him and give him a contract extension as part of the deal, Hunt would be very welcoming. From Outkick.com, NFL senior reporter reported that out of Cleveland. So if Hunt, as I'm sure Hunt basically just has, would be welcome to any team that would pay him. So I don't think it's just, specific to
the salary.
to Philadelphia. He's scheduled to earn a base salary of $1.35 million this season.
Oh, so my gosh, dude. Get on the phone that. Now.
The Browns extended D'Ernest Johnson this summer, so I think the writing's on the wall there. I think they were bracing themselves if Kareem Hunt held out or left or whatever the situation is. You can't say bring him in now because you would have to extend him prior to a trade. So would you give him the what? I don't even know what his market value is for Kareem Hunt. I assume it would be anywhere between $8 to $12 million. So, and then you have to think about who are you giving up. I'm not giving up Dillard to this point. I think he's too valuable to the offensive line. I don't know what draft picks get it done, a fourth, fifth, whatever the situation is. How pressing, Steven, are you to pursuing Kareem Hunt? Some people, some fans who are viewing this as the if they're going through the same lens as the Super Bowl year, a lot of fans are viewing Kareem Hunt as the Jay Ajayi type trade that just puts you over the edge. Where are you at with the whole Kareem Hunt rumor mill?
Everything gets back to 2017, man. I swear to God.
Yes, it's the Super Bowl year. Of course we want to think about that.
Can't, by that logic, Gardner Minshew is going to win the Super Bowl for us.
hey, best backup in the league, probably.
Could you imagine?
No, I could not.
I mean,
no,
technically, Jalen was drafted as a backup, so hey. Mm-hmm. Well, look, I'm not pressing to do the deal, but I will ask you. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to adding Kareem Hunt to this team, obviously. But my question then to you, because Miles is due for an extension as well, who is more worthy? Obviously, we can't really answer that right now. Miles kind of still needs to answer some question marks we have about him. Yes. I would argue Kareem Hunt does, too, because I feel like he hasn't played football in a while. Who's more worth? So you said 8 to 12 mil per year for Kareem Hunt. What, in your mind now, you're just projecting, obviously, like, what will Miles be worth after this season?
I think Miles gets 12 million a year. I think so.
Oh my God, 12?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they projected PFF, or no, not PFF. Somebody.
You think somebody besides the Eagles would give him 12 mil?
I don't know who gives it to him, but he's definitely going to get that type of money next season, I believe, unless he's like hurt all year long, or you know, whatever situation.
So I don't see a world where the Eagles would have two backs on the roster that can make upwards of 10 million per year, right?
And I see a lot of people suggesting trade Miles and like Rager for Kareem Hunt. I'm like, I don't know.
All right, guys.
I don't know if that's the. Yeah, I know. God forbid we trade Rager.
What if Rager's like the best fifth wide receiver in the NFL?
Oh my God! So the last time we visited this contract situation, this was back in June when who projected this? It looks like SpotTrack recently calculated Sanders' market value based on age, statistical production, and comparable players. And I was actually wrong. I was way off. Actually, his market value is 3 years. For about $12.8 million, an average salary of $4.25 million year. So I guess that I would sign him up for immediately. Yeah, I would.
Yes. Where are you? Yeah, I was gonna say.
So SpotTrack did that. Kareem, I don't know what Kareem Hunt's. I can find it though. Kareem Hunt's market value. But it's the people who fall in love with the backfield idea of Miles, Kareem Hunt. You have Kareem Hunt if Miles Sanders goes down with injury. Even though Kareem Hunt dealt with injuries last year,
this offensive line, man, you have to factor that in.
I would imagine
this team's going
to
be a run-heavy team again.
We don't have to bank on Boston Scott and Kenny G and all this stuff, so we'll have to. We'll have to see that. So basically, you're not a we don't need Kareem Hunt type of person.
Yeah, it feels like a premium thing. Like, did we need Jay Ajayi?
Oh, it's a luxury.
Could you argue?
It's a luxury. What would you rather do? Would you rather bring in another running back or bring in a safety?
Bring in a safety? Not at the expense of Rager, but no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, just because it's off the board now, so who knows anymore.
That's what I mean.
SpotTrack estimates Kareem Hunt's market value at $7.1 million per year. So what are you going to give him, a three-year, $21 million extension?
At it, if we get both, we could be... Oh, okay.
Yeah, I believe Kareem Hunt is 26 too. Got some miles on him. Yeah, 26 years old.
Would
he has
you
some
keep
miles
both
to him.
Backs on the roster paying 12 mil per year?
Nah, yeah, you can't pay both. I don't think you can pay both.
No, I'm not saying both are making 12 mil per year, but what I'm saying is a combined salary of.
I feel like Miles' market is going to. I don't think they pay him. I don't think 4 million is a fair value for him. I think that goes up this. If he has the year he thinks he's going to have.
All right. Well, let's say in this world you have both backs on the roster and you're looking at a cap hit next season of. What's a fair, like...
So hypothetically, with the projections...
14 mil?
So that's 11 million. About 11, 12. 11,
well,
12
I'm,
million.
I'm rounding up the numbers. I'm thinking Miles is going to make more than that.
Yeah, so I guess, so you're asking me if I would invest 12 million a year in the running back, in the running back tandem of Miles Sanders and Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think,
is that realistic? Would that be, you think it's like,
I don't know how realistic that is. That's just projections, but we'll have to see. Like I said, Kareem Hunt, 26 years old, has some mileage on him, but he was fourth in the league in yards after contact last year, and we still need that power back. It's just what compensation do you have to give
with
up?
With Jalen too, man.
Oh God, yeah, that would be high powered. Then you got AJ Devontae. Don't get me started. But yeah, and when you have you got to factor in the compensation and what contract is he looking for, and this and that. But Sirianni was talking to him at practice.
I don't understand why Jordan Howard's not on the team.
Because he's fucking, his neck is done for. This man has stingers galore every year. Mm. I don't think his neck is in NFL shape.
I feel like every time he puts the uniform on and suits up, he's just out here running people over for like 6 yards.
And then his neck is sore 4 weeks later, and then he's done for the year. Is what happens. So I think it's about it for him. But like I said, Sirianni was talking to Kareem Hunt at practice. Hey man, we got a GM that's pretty good with contracts. You know, tell Miles that he.
Yes,
it's my team now. Tell Miles.
Is he better than Miles?
Yes, Kareem Hunt is better than
Miles.
Oh
my God,
at this juncture. And as a receiver too, he's a mean receiving back.
Oh my God,
Miles has brick hands. Other than his rookie season when he had like McCaffrey like numbers, he was putting up he has brick hands these days. So maybe he changes all that this year. We will have to see. Next potential running back option. The Raiders released Kenyon Drake yesterday. The team is eating an $8 million cap hit to get rid of him. He only rushed the ball 63 times for 254 yards last year before suffering a broken ankle, but he had 955 yards in 2020 with the Arizona Cardinals. So any interest in bringing in Kenyon Drake for whatever, I'm sure it wouldn't cost much to bring him in here. Any interest in that? Are you familiar with Kenyon Drake? Are you familiar with the player he is? Do you think he brings any value to the Eagles' backfield?
Sounds to me like he's kind of washed. No, I'm serious. Those numbers are not very encouraging.
Well, he had 950 in 2020. That's good. That's good. I don't think Miles ever had that many in 1 year. I don't think Miles ever did.
I mean, sure. Yeah. I mean, anything could be better than Boston Scott as running back too.
You're really upset about
Lord, man.
Him being
so
over
dumb.
Kenyon Drake
he's
on the
not Darren Sproles, dude. People swear he's like Darren Sproles or something.
Being over Kenneth Gainwell on the depth chart. It's not sitting well. Sitting
yeah,
well
that's
with
just
you,
so dumb. Get Kenny G out there. He was electric in the passing game.
Not sitting well with you. Kenyon Drake will be 28 this year, so keep that in mind. Final. Here's the wild card option. I think the Eagles could look into, and a guy that could be on his way out of Minnesota is running back Alexander Mattison. He is in the final year of his contract. He had 719 all-purpose yards last year. The Vikings have two young running backs who have performed pretty well this preseason, and Mattison is a good power rusher that could complement Miles.
There you
well.
Go. There's the.
So that's the wild card.
Power guy.
Wouldn't cost much. Nice power. He produces, and he's an under the radar guy. Nobody's gonna scream and yell. It's not like Kareem Hunt and this and that. It's Alexander Mattison who was very good for Minnesota last year. I think that might be one of the more enticing options as far as bringing in another back in here. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, the power back thing's interesting because you got one side of the equation where it's like the old school guys that love the power back. It's like do or die. And then there's like this new breed of fans or this new like mentality where it's like, oh, it's all about speed. And, you know, the power thing doesn't really matter anymore. It's scheme. Guess what? I lie right in the middle. I'd be open to, you know, bringing a power back into this running back room because Miles isn't particularly big or doesn't have a lot of power to his game.
I don't feel Miles as a power back or a speed guy. Like when I play Madden, like and I think of Miles Sanders.
But he's
I'm
just
like,
good all around. You know?
I'm like he's not like a power guy you want to because
he's not as
tackles,
as Shady McCoy
speed.
Was. You know.
Yeah, I find it hard to figure out what he is. He's just that home run hitter guy. But yeah, Alexander Mattison, 5'11", 215 pounds, stocky, sturdy, can get in between the tackles. Last year, he rushed for 491 yards and caught 32 passes for 228 yards. I like the way that sounds.
Although I'd argue we'd have the best power back in the NFL already on the roster.
As Jalen Hurts.
Well, oh, okay, yeah. But also in short yardage situations, I mean, Jordan Mailata's got that rugby background. So
oh,
I mean,
yeah, dude, Jordan Davis on offense. We probably see it. One player for a year. So yeah, those are the running back options. I think Kareem Hunt is the pipe dream. Kenyon Drake, if they decide to go that route, and then you have Alexander Mattison, who will probably be on his way out of Minnesota. Contract year, two young running backs are stepping up. I don't know how much longer his tenure in Minnesota is going to be. So I would definitely
could be a smart move.
I'm in my GM chair right now, dude. Madden just came out. I'm in my franchise bag right now. Speaking of which, yo, everybody's shitting on Madden. It's not bad this year. Get tired of y'all. We were having a conversation about game reviews. Everybody's saying Madden is like, and I understand, like, you know, we want more from Madden and we want more than just roster refinements and this. We want like a deeper franchise mode and this.
There's got to be I will say, in my opinion, this is mine, there should be some sort of like online, like, I don't know. There's got to be something new besides just Ultimate Team. And
yeah, they need to do away with Ultimate Team. They're doing the Field Pass this year, which is basically like a Battle Pass or something. I have to see what that's about.
I bet.
But I'm a franchise guy. I've always been about franchises. And I think the game took a step in the right direction. Us as next-gen players, because we won't do that current-gen. Yeah, I don't know what the hell y'all think.
Yeah,
this
I can't
is.
Imagine playing current-gen, dude.
Current-gen, dude. That shit dusty-ass PS4. Imagine doing that. PC players. I feel bad for PC players because they don't get the new features either. I don't know why EA is doing that.
No, they're tryhards. They always think everything they have is better.
I just always wonder, like, what if EA didn't buy the exclusive NFL license and we got the ESPN games back? And mind you, I have a modded version of NFL 2K5.
Yeah, we need, like, an online NFL street game mode. Your own player.
Well, that's the yard. That's the yard, dude.
Is that any good? Maybe I need to try that.
I played it last year. I haven't tried it this year.
Hey,
but that's like the yard.
I have to start streaming it, guys. Catch you there.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. I have a modded version of NFL 2K5, NFL 2K23 with like 4K graphics and updated rosters and all that. But it just makes you wonder, like, what would the presentation look like if we had ESPN 2K5? I will say NBA 2K is looking crazy with the era stuff they got going on this year. Mind you, there's no LeBron era, and that's it.
I don't
that is
mind the slander that
that's
company. I don't that. Mind the slander that studio gets, whatever you want to call them.
Ronnie
they, yeah, I don't mind that at all.
Who is that? Visual Concepts, whoever that is. I don't know.
Whoever's in charge of
who does that?
Of whatever.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Is.
Play man. Add us on PS5 if you want to do that. Also at the Philly Pop. Be sure
the Discord
guys,
man. We're trying to get
yeah,
the
Discord.
Pop.
Yeah, yeah. Jew Stevens doing the whole Discord. Talk to him if you want to be in it. All that. All that fun stuff. Thank you.
Reach
guys
out to me
in.
On Twitter, guys. We'll get you in there.
Or text him directly. We'll put his number.
We can argue
below.
About Jalen Reagor because I am not done
oh,
fighting this
it's over.
Fight.
It's fucking
I
over.
I am
bro.
Not done.
You are
as long as he's
done.
Wearing midnight green, I'm going to fight this fight.
It's
I don't want to hear shit when Lamar Jackson's throwing him bombs and everybody's going to be like, oh, he sucked here. We don't care. Dude. We don't care.
Yeah, we'll see. Travis Fulgham in Green Bay now, dude. He's about to be catching bombs from fucking Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, speaking of which, man, boy, did he come down to, like, real life on this team. Yeah. So I told you early in the pod, I mentioned I was watching tape from last year, and I think it was, or maybe it was the year before. It was the year before, was one of Jalen's first games. Fulgham's wide open. We're moving the ball. Like, he does a little curl route. I mean, the corner was just gone. Like, he had 5 yards of separation, and it hits him right in the chest, and he drops it. So.
That's Fulgham. Yeah.
Yep.
What a fall.
You know
from
what I'm
grace,
talking
man.
About. You remember what
yeah,
I'm talking about?
Yep. What a fall from grace for that guy. It's rough. Maybe he'll catch on. Then
I'll never forget that Steelers game though, when he had 11 catches for
like,
yeah,
150, like
150
yards.
Yards.
Yeah, that shit was fucking.
That,
that was
great.
Was wild. Yeah, but Green Bay. Maybe they got Randall Cobb and Christian Watson. Maybe he'll latch on over there. Thank you guys for tuning into this episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Philly Pod on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. All to see anywhere else you get your shows, please leave those reviews, rate 5 stars. Each and every one does help with the show. Follow me, your host, Victor Williams, on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at the Philly Pod. Follow thelibertyline.com for around-the-clock coverage on all 5 major Philly sports. Steven, where can the people find you? What you got coming up, minus the vlog? We know the vlog is the big thing. What you got on the pipeline? You got a video coming out about KD not coming to Philadelphia, I'm pretty sure. So.
Oh, yeah. Steven Conrad Jr. on all socials. Definitely check out our YouTube channel, The Liberty Line. Just tons of just different
tons.
Video content we
tons.
Do over there, Philly sports related. But yeah, I have some things to get off my chest. So you're going to want to, if you're entertained at all by what you heard here, you know, definitely check it out.
No KD in Philly, officially. Running it back. It's
which
Ben,
I'm not upset with.
Ben, Kyrie, and KD finna knock us out of the second round. And
oh,
back.
My God. Let's not do that.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the episode. Until the next one, y'all. Peace out from the Philly Pop.
Hold up. Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.